Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, listening audience. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, with Talk Straight. Change is as inevitable as the tide. Often, we're not ready for change, but change comes anyhow. For many people, change brings discomfort because they have to move from where they are comfortable. But change is still inevitable. Change has a way of making us better or even leaving some behind. Either way you look at it, change is as inevitable as the tide. Talk Straight tonight, we will focus on change from one yearly cycle to another. Our microphone discussion tonight is an open discussion, and we're talking about to be seen in 2017. What is it that we look forward to in the coming year, and how do we suppose that individually and collectively we can bring about positive, proactive change? For sure, change is as inevitable as the tide. This is your host again, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Feel free to give us a call here at 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. And let me welcome my panelists, Pastor Ricky Waller. Good evening, sir. Good evening, Pastor Waller. Okay. Perhaps he will catch it, tap in with us there shortly. But nonetheless, we will go. Who else do we have on the line here? I have a caller from 615-491. Who do we have with us? Who do we have the pleasure of talking with tonight? Just tap in with us there. Nonetheless, you can also call us here at 657-383-0944. We would love to engage you in conversation, and we hope that you will find this particular show enlightening. Let me just give you a little background for those who may have listened for the very first time. We noticed that we have listenership in California as well as New York on the East Coast and the West Coast, from the East to the West Coast. We're grateful for you tuning in, and we hope you have chosen to tune in again this December 27, just 2 days after the celebration of the birth of Christ, the Christmas holiday. And we are preparing ourselves again for a new cycle. Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist building Families, and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Weekly topics will focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly is the host, and we endeavor to continue in the following yearly cycle to engage experts in various disciplines as we have beginning November of 2017, since the show began, and to discuss various studies or research and best practices, and to also engage our listening audience, basically, in proactive conversations. What this show is designed to do, is to open national dialogue around America about things that are confronting families and communities, be you African American, be you Caucasian, be you Asian, be you Hispanic, certainly for sure. We have a specific focus on the African American experience, as well as blending that with a national experience. So we engage the listening audience again in those provocative conversations. Additionally, the show will serve as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. We hope that you have joined us from our Facebook group, BFC Institute Seminar Participants. If you have not, please go to BFC Institute Facebook.com/BFC Institute and join our special group here. Throughout the show, we'll talk to you about some other things, but tonight we want to focus our attention again on this particular topic, which is a open microphone discussion again, to be seen in 2017. You've heard Sam Cooke make the statement very clearly that a change is going to come. And through the process, we discuss how difficult often it is for change to come. Now, one of the changes that are needed is a change in how we focus on ourselves socially, how we look at ourselves educationally, how we look at ourselves politically and economically. Tonight's show is going to be abbreviated. We usually have an hour and a half, but we have an hour tonight to discuss this. And again, I invite you to share with us by calling here and sharing your comments. Please give us a call as you feel free, as you would like to, rather. We'll be here for an hour again tonight. We'll cut off at 8 o'clock tonight. And again, that number to call here is 657-383-0944. We will place you in queue, and we want to hear your questions, your comments. I hope that you've had an opportunity to hear some of our previous broadcasts and get a feel for where we have been thus far over the last couple of months and where we intend to take in the coming year. After this week, it'll be over for 2016. And the next question is, what is to be seen in 2017? And I believe the answer to that lies within us largely. Let me see if my good friend is with us. Pastor Ricky Waller, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Pastor Doc?
Mighty fine. Yes, sir. I hope that the family is doing well.
Yeah. We're doing all right, man.
Good.
Taking it as it comes and walking in expectancy. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're looking for great things, man. We're looking to. Yeah. Let me apologize to our listening audience ahead of time and to you, Pastor Waller, for a little cold here that we're still trying to shake here. The devil is busy, but we're not giving him the victory. Amen?
Okay, that's all right.
He can't have the victory tonight. He can't have the victory tonight.
Pushing right on.
Yes, sir. So feel free to jump right on in here with us there, Pastor, as you see fit. And what I'd like to do is, again, as I mentioned, just earlier, is to frame our conversation from at least four perspectives, and that's from a social perspective, from an educational perspective, political, as well as economic. Now, in terms of things to be seen in 2017, let me begin that dialogue by saying that when we look at the data from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, we look at indications from the terms of public assistance, and we look at some of the other things in the media relative to crimes and to situations where individuals are incarcerated and things of that nature, clearly there is a social demise. And I'm a firm believer that what is key to resolving those issues is the family. Now, for individuals who've grown up to be a certain age, certainly we can't. Nicodemus asked the question, do you mean I have to go through my mother's womb again? No, Nicodemus, but you must be born again. Can I get a witness? You got to be born again. Yeah.
Yeah, just let it be. Yeah, he had to let that be known.
Right. Now, I'm not crazy. Don't think I'm silly here now. A grown man going back in his mother's womb. But you've got to be born again. How must you be born, Nicodemus? And I think that question is apropos to us today as we leave 2016 to 17. How must we be born? We must revisit how we establish and plan for family, right? And we have to make that a key and a central focus so that when a male and a female comes together and to procreate life, it is not out of passion only. It is not out of lust. It is not driven out of insatiable desire for physical pleasure, but it is driven out of an agreement, a promise that we're going to raise these children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. We have a plan for them by the time they become of legal age, 18 years old, right? And we know that we're setting in place for them a pattern and a path for success, not only in their local community, but in the United States and indeed the world abroad. Family has to be a very, very key aspect of what we're talking about here when we talk about getting there. And then we want to look at the value system. The value system. What is it that our value system should entail within the family? Should we value material wealth only? Should we value trying to keep up with what we see on television and we see portrayed in movies and heard on the radio and things of that nature? Or should we value first heritage, identity, purpose, discipline, structure? What is it that we should focus on within our families, right? And then the other thing is practices. A couple of shows back, you heard me talk about in my monologue the difference between proscriptive and prescriptive norms or patterns of behavior. And just briefly, I will go back and explain the difference again. Prescriptive are those that are written and codified by formal law, by society, and expressed in your state law and even constitutional law or your local municipal ordinances and things of that nature. In other words, it is believed that these particular rules and regulations will benefit every citizen such that nobody will be left out and nobody will overstep their bounds if everyone were to follow these. On the other hand, proscriptive values are those that are proscribed or friendly to certain smaller subgroups within society. I can speak on the African-American experience. Is that all right, Brother Pastor?
Yeah, go right ahead. Go right ahead.
Since that's where I come from. Since that's where I come from. You understand? And often
okay.
we, my brothers and sisters often would say, well, that's just how we do. You know how we get down.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't mean no harm. That's how we get down. You know what I mean? That's just what we do, man. We, you know, we ain't trying to act like nobody but us. But what we find is that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I hear you saying, and don't mean no harm. Okay.
And we don't mean no harm. We don't mean no harm, nobody. But the reality is, when we look at the rate of black-on-black crime as reported by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, clearly the harm is done. When 50% of all homicides involve African-Americans, and when you dig into that data deeper, you find that 93% or so of those African-American homicides involve black-on-black crime. That does harm somebody. Yeah. And what you've been sharing with us since you've been on with us is how the practice of making a living by selling a destructive substance is destroying and denigrating our families and our communities, right? Well, we say we don't mean no harm, though. We say we don't mean no harm.
Without a doubt.
But for sure, we see that there is a lot of harm done, right?
Oh, man, it's plenty. It's major, major harm.
So we have to look at our practices, and that's where I want to bring us today, to where we focus on those things. On the other side of that, Richard, I want you to help me with those three things, with the family, with the social value system and practices. I'm going to take a brief break here, a brief commercial break, and then I want you to help me with that. Will you do that for me? Will you help me explain that thing like I'm 3 years old?
Yes, sir. I do the best I can with that one. That's pretty good.
All right, then. All right, on the other side of this brief message, we'll be right back.
All right.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back for thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty.
If you wake up December, after December 31st, this Saturday, after midnight, you will come into a new yearly cycle. Out with the old 2016, in with the new 17, old Lang Syne. The question is, what's to be seen in 2017? You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Our good friend, Pastor Wallace, with us again. Panelists, the number 657-383-0944. Give us a call. Give us a call right here live on Talk Straight. That's what it's all about. Pastor Wallace.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Wallace,
yes, sir.
Help me understand, like I'm 3 years old, how do we get a refocus on family structure? Change our value system for the better now. Now, if you're doing well, already, we had a guest where he shared us some very positive values that he and his wife imparted on their son. They're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
We're not suggesting that nobody's benefiting from it. But obviously, we got some problems. You understand what I'm saying? All we got to do is look at the reports and the data that's out there. And then lastly, how do we fix our practices to where they benefit us? Can you talk to us about those three things real quickly?
Well, I think the number one thing, and I say I think this, you know, and it's a good thing to know. You think, because it all has to do with the thoughts of what you think. And you and I
are
the mind regulator. That means
yes,
your
sir.
Mind
yes.
is regulated. It means your thought pattern to change. But
mm-hmm,
if you're used
mm-hmm,
to doing
mm-hmm.
the same thing over and over and over again, and you enter another generation, and they start to do what you've been doing, and you do the same thing over and over and over again. Well, for me to look at that, and I thank you for bringing it up, because
I
was distracted myself. And of course, you said it earlier, what caused a person or most people who are outside of the knowledge and the wisdom that don't know any better, and we don't know what the Word of God says. The Word says very plain, and, you know, it's real simple. He said, my yoke is easy.
Uh-huh.
My burdens are
light.
This sounds really good.
Right.
Yes, what about when you don't know that? And so that means that a person like I didn't know it. I was ignorant.
Right.
Ignorant and ignorant.
Okay.
So that
I
fit that I was able to exercise or to practice that family-oriented style that the kids needed when I was supposed to be a grown man.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And at an early age,
I
thought I was grown.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't able to acknowledge the power of a kid coming up in need for guidance.
I see.
And so
I
went otherwise, you see, and that's what happens when you get caught up into the materialistic world and the fast pace won't allow you to see that. So it's all about your practice. It's all about what you're practicing. If you go ahead.
I don't want to be rude. We got a call from 615, a suffix of the number 1098. Welcome to Talk Straight. I want to give them an opportunity to tune in. We cut our show a little short tonight, but we got an hour. But caller, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How are you?
All right. Well,
sir?
God bless you, man. We appreciate you tuning in with. I know who this is, Brother Pastor.
This is Incast.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, go ahead.
My friend, we were talking about what's to be seen in 2017. And, of course, only we can answer that. And Pastor Waller was just answering the question relative to
you know, we unfortunately see a lot of negative things in the news. We don't hear the positive, right, enough. But we do know that there is a express need to look at our family values, look at our value system as a whole, the structure of our family, and our social practices. Can you, would you like to speak to that briefly? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, when I look at it, I look at it, you know, from the spiritual aspect and also the educational aspect. One of the things that are hindering a lot of parents is lack of education.
Wow. Okay.
And that's a, you know, that's a big issue, you know, education.
Sure. Right. And I know you don't say that in an offensive way.
No, caller.
Because a lot of times when we talk about these things, the truth hits all of us so hard in the face that it seems like people are just trying to hurt us. But you're hitting on something that's very key in terms of education. Let me be quiet and let you finish the thought.
No. Go ahead. Because I'm, you know, my intention also is to try to obtain some more knowledge too. I don't know everything. This is why, you know,
no,
I sit a lot of times and I listen. You know.
Okay.
And I
so appreciate
that. You know.
We certainly appreciate the humility that you bring to the show tonight, and that's certainly my focus as well. The Lord has blessed me to have formal and informal knowledge base, but I consider myself to be humble enough to hear that you can always learn something. You can learn from a baby if you're wise, you know. But you know, you struck something that was key, and Pastor Wiley, you were speaking to this earlier. When we think about education, too often people, they focus on the skill and drill. In other words, we're teaching you 1 + 1 = 2. We're teaching you to say this, that, can, I, you know, those sort of things. But the real question is, what is it that we're teaching? See, education has to, it's a process of bringing that which is in outward. So what is the basis of our instruction? We know how we teach. But what are we teaching in terms of bringing the best out of our young people? I'm concerned as a former educator in a public school setting that the curriculum does not really speak to teaching our young people in particular about who they are and why they life have value, why they're important, why they must take advantage of learning opportunities. Where are you gentlemen on that?
Well, it's a teachable moment. Here, you know, you have to start, and you know, when the scripture teaches, and it it'll teach you real fast and real quick, and when you're being taught that way, your mind is on that track, and there are plenty of people that are out there that are being taught that way, and I'm only coming from the experience. I know 24 years ago, and the reason why I say 24 years ago is I had my little boy on the couch, and he was laying down taking a nap. So he had to be 4 or something like that. And I was on intensive probation. Now, I didn't know nothing about this tape that I found. It was a VCR, tape now.
I found it, so I
still had a VCR player, and I played it. Man, I looked on there, and it was a basketball, a football, and a baseball glove laying on the couch while my son was taking a nap.
Okay.
And then here I am, as it rolled on, all of a sudden, it get to a part where I'm spinning the basketball, and I'm in the house. And my nephew was filming it. And, man, and all I could think about was 24 years ago, and you know how I am about the basketball. Now, I'm in there. All I can do, maybe I drop and break something in there from time to time because my mother wasn't there. But what I'm getting at is that I had opportunity to continue to teach him. Not sports is not everything, but that what I was able to do, I was distracted from the family-oriented lifestyle because before that, you see.
Now, I see what you're saying.
A glove, a baseball glove, a basketball, and a football.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll show it to you, man. And so it's just like, you know, a parent knowing what to teach the child, and then the child doesn't get it for whatever the reason is. That calls for a lot of pain in the family-oriented lifestyle. And that's a danger. That's a danger because that time I was on intensive probation, you know, my life changed. But what happened before then that I didn't follow up, and so I was no longer with my son, and that means that, you know, he ended up getting out in the street himself and things like that.
Okay.
And so do I protect myself? It's just all about what Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
The kingdom.
And his righteousness and all these things shall be added. I didn't know the kingdom of God system. I didn't know anything about that. And then when kids don't know anything about that, they learn other things, right? And all of a sudden they get captured. So what are we going to do, you know, about that? You know, how can we approach that? You know,
that's a very good question. That's a very good question, Pastor Waller, because you raise a great point. Callers, you're listening to Talk Straight. The topic tonight is to be seen in 2017. What is it that we should look forward to? And we're framing our conversation around three principal things, and that is family structure, modifying our value system culturally, as well as our practices, our day-to-day practice. And we're on with our good friend, two fine gentlemen from the Nashville area. We appreciate them sharing with us. So, Pastor, what I heard you suggest, and you tune in here, Brother Outcast, as you feel free.
Yeah.
I heard you say, I know you have experience with this too, Outcast. I heard you say you only can teach from what you knew and understood. Should we hold you accountable for what you did know? Outcast, where you at with that?
Well, it depends on what a person don't know. No one knows it all. But we have tools now to where that we can learn things, but some things we do not understand. I was listening to him; he was talking about the spinning the basketball and things in that nature. You know, many years ago, when it came to people, you know, not only children, grown men, you know, it was stated that you can set a stack of books down. And you can put a basketball down, and they would grab the basketball instead of the book.
Watch it.
You know, that's an old one. You know, this is a real old one, you've been around in a lot of different places and things of that nature. You've heard of this one also.
I've heard that.
Right. You know, but I was talking to a guy many decades ago, and we were talking about education because, like, at one point, you know, I was a teacher's aide, and he said this.
Okay.
He said, let me tell you something, man. He said the main reason why a lot of guys shy away from education is because they don't want to want people to know that they, you know, just actually how uneducated they are. I said, well, you know, I said, that's the wrong concept, you know.
Right,
how can you
get
help if you don't ask for help?
That's
And, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, amazing to me, you know. And, you know, I gave guys a proposition. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, if you can ask, attract, multiply, divide, or whatever, I can have you doing this certain thing in X amount of time. And, you know, the structure, what we should look for into 2017, you know, forward to it and hope that a mass amount of children, you know, would not only get an education to school, also get a good knowledge of God, get a good basis.
Right.
Of
well, that. Yeah, that's important. That's important.
And then you can really move forward and be, from my point of view, more successful. I may be off a little bit. You know, I may be off a little bit because I took a nap. I said, I'm going to, you know, call Reverend
Doctor.
So, you know, I took me a nap, you know,
No, that's fine.
And I woke up, you know, but.
I appreciate that.
Let me hear you on this.
You said something, and that was about the fear, and I find this to be so true, of individuals to take a chance to try something different out of fear that somebody may find out that I'm inadequate, I come up short.
Right.
The Bible says you have not because you ask not. That same scripture says, seek and ye will find. If you knock, a door of opportunity will be opening to you. And then it goes on to say, gentlemen, ask. Some of us, our pride won't allow us to ask for the help and the knowledge that we need. I heard you say previously, Outcast, about being an entrepreneur. It's a risk taker. It's a risk taker. And if you're not willing to take a risk, I'm not so sure even God can help you.
That's right. True.
I mean, how can God help you if Adam didn't want to get up off the ground after he done blew the breath of life into him and gave him dominion? If he won't get up and use what God gave him, how can God help
him? That's right, can.
Bro, Pastor, what you with that, Bro, Pastor?
It's going to be kind of tough right there, you know, and that's the thing. I like that. I like the portion of, you know, talking about knowing God. You see, that's a thing that says God is good, but don't know God. I've heard that he's good all the time. It's easy to say that. You know, I saw in the scripture, it got me really truly more excited about getting to know God is because I know I didn't know him. And then suddenly take a chance and step out on faith to get to know him, right? he knew something about me. He said, I know that boy loves sports. So he let me see it in the Word. The Word says, in athletics, you see, a man is not unless he play according to the rules, unless he compete with the rules. Right? So, in order to compete according to the rules, that's saying that the Bible talks about sports. You see?
I see.
And so it gets so hard because I'm like, man, sports is in the Bible. And it talks about, man, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So God has rules.
I see you've been off of that book. You've been off of that book a little bit, ain't you?
So when he put that in me, brother, when he put that in me, he made me aware that as long as you play according to the rules, then you're going to stay with me. Because if you don't play according to the rules, then you're something to go back to where you came from. So I said, well, if I'm going to be a winner, I can't dress up like a lot of that is going on. People are in church, they dress up, they sound good, they feel good, you know. And I didn't want to be like that. The street life already captured my mind and had me on that track. And that's what I was seeing as a teaching moment. It's a learning process that a person has to go through, man. Right. You talk about what's going on in 2017. Let me explain something about it. You will, just for a moment.
Okay,
see,
go ahead.
As soon as 2017 starts, a person may say, hey, I'm going to do something new. I'm going to do something different in 2017. And all of a sudden, the whole day didn't change. It may seem like, you see what I'm saying?
Hold your thought. What you're saying is, you come to the basketball court to shoot hoops. And you just, you see the court out there and you see other people, and you even see a ball bounce around. Then all of a sudden somebody say, give me my ball. I'm going home. Ain't no more games. Here come 2017. You looking for great things to happen. And somebody snaps the ball and say, I'm going home. You ain't no game today.
And all of a sudden, didn't change. You know, and that's the thing about it. That it wasn't like this. They called it New Year's resolutions, and I think that's what they call it.
Yes.
you, brothers. I didn't make that. But what happened on January 31st, 1992? See, I was delivered, but it wasn't January 1st. You see?
I see.
So now I understand that whatever part of 2017 if a person can change, receive it and accept it and embrace it.
That's
right. Because
that's
it should be January 1st.
Okay.
You see?
I hope and pray though, somebody will make up in their mind. If I messed up in 2016 and I fool around and wake up come 12:01 in 2017, I got a chance to change my value system. I got a chance to refocus my idea about family and how I go about living my life day by day. And see, that's the catch right there, brother. We get caught up on the fear and the guilt and the doubt about yesterday till we just go lock ourselves in a room. We never see the beauty of tomorrow that it has for. We've been may endure for a night. But if you can just hold out through the midnight when it's pitch black in the country, y'all, you see, y'all some country men. Y'all know about this, though. If you can just, you know, I've been down in the Mississippi, Outkast. I was down in Mississippi. I went to Houston, man.
Yeah.
I'm talking about you're so black you couldn't even see where you were going, man.
Oh, no.
But if you can hold out until about 5:15 a.m. in the morning, you'll find that there's a new horizon. We've been endured for the night, but joy, I got happy in the morning. I wish I could.
He had mentioned a New Year's, you know. I mean, everybody, normally a lot of people you run into, they say, well, this is my New Year's revolution. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So, you know me, I learned years ago, you know, when I got in contact with myself, hey, you know, don't make this resolution. You say you're going to do this, you're going to do that, you know, come New Year's Day. Hey, go on and make adjustments as needed throughout that year. Just don't just focus on that one day. Focus throughout the year and make changes as you go along throughout that year. People make all these resolutions, but they don't. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
You're absolutely right. So here's the catch. What the enemy does is try to trick you out of, like you said, Nike said, just do it. Don't think about it. Do it. And a lot of times, people say, I'm going to try. Well, I've learned that if we look at that word, T-R-Y, consider this. It means to refuse yourself. Don't try. And when you put the devil on Front Street by saying, okay, that's what I did yesterday, but today I'm doing something different. Now keep up with this, devil. Keep up with this, enemy. See if you can handle this. You had me as a prisoner yesterday, but today I'm going to be a free man.
That's right. Amen.
From my B.B. King said, I'm free, baby. Free from your spell. The thrill is gone. Let me bring this thing on back around here now. But you know, I hear you, gentlemen, clearly, and so I am convinced that for all of us, and we know individually what it's going to take for each of us to do better, to change. We know what we got to change. I think the thing we got to realize is we got to get past the fear of change, right? The fear that things won't be the same. I might lose something, and people may see me differently. If we can get past those fears and apprehensions, man, we may find the energy, we may find the motivation to just step out there, just like you did, Pastor Waller, in a new walk. And you don't have to tell nobody you're going. Don't tell nobody. You just do it.
Yeah, it is. That's it. I mean, that's the best thing that ever come upon a person when you just do it, man. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but what I will say, man, once I received it, as you said, a joy. And see, I couldn't tell nobody. It was too early. You know, you from that because my friend, they would have had a hard time accepting that. Man, you didn't tell me you're not doing that anymore. You know, so
right.
I had to keep walking it.
Now watch this. Watch how our so-called friends, they will say to you, "You ain't doing that no more." Where do they get off defining who you are and what your behavior should be in order for them to be your friend? Come on, somebody, talk to me. Talk to me about a friend that is a friend to be.
There it is.
Huh?
There it is.
What gives them the authority to define what you should be doing, and just so you can keep up with them and they can be your friend?
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I need to look at some new friends.
That's
go ahead,
correct.
I'm sorry.
And I was so glad that I want to say this to you, brothers, man. And this here was the honest truth, brother. I figured I couldn't tell them at the early stage, but by them being friends, and they was my true friends, that I didn't want to not tell them, but I had to deal with how I'm going to tell them. See, they all were strung out. They all were still strung out on the stuff that
I
be strung
I
out.
See. I see.
I hear that
at
stage, man. And so, and I'm the one started them on the drugs. I'm not doing it anymore. You know, it's almost like I'm not doing it anymore. And I know how hard it's going to be for you guys to stop. So I just want to let you know I'm not doing it anymore. No, I couldn't do that.
Right.
So I just kept walking, man. But God knew that I wanted to tell my friend. So one day God spoke to me. He said, "Go tell somebody what I've done for you." And man, all about was my friends, man. So I went and told them. And of course I said it was a hard time, and they did. Guess what one of them said? "Man, what's wrong with Fat Ricky, man?"
He done lost his mind.
I mean, he'll tell you today, man, that's what he said. And I understood it, because I didn't want to go, no way. But God told me to go tell somebody, and all I thought about was my friends. So what I'm saying is now, years later, majority of my friends that was in that style with me, they're straight now, man.
I see.
I see. But man, that was tough, brother, going to tell them that, and I just wanted to share that with you, brother.
We're still talking about how, first of all, we need to accept that we need to, right? But then can move to how we can go about reexamining our focus for family. You know, a young dude, he see a little gal and she open his nose wide open. You know what I'm saying? And he don't know what to do with himself. He don't know what to do with himself. You understand what I'm saying? And he has this desire that he like her, but he don't know how to love her because he don't have enough knowledge to know that when a man loves a woman, he can't keep his mind on nothing else. That's what Obie Wright said.
That's right.
I mean, he ain't. But God told Adam.
Is it true?
But God told Adam, "Look here, I'm giving you this woman, and this is the best gift I got for you, because she's gonna help make you or break you as a man." I'm saying that to say simply that it's the limited knowledge that gets us caught up oftentimes, male and female. And if we just understood one principle thing, that who we are is not something we made ourselves, but we were created in his fashion in his likeness and his image. If we can find out what that is, then we'll have a blueprint for how to be better people in 2017. I would submit to you that a lot of folk have not learned what the real image and likeness of Elohim God is. So they're void of the knowledge of how to be the best people that they can be.
Yeah. Haven't learned.
And that don't make us bad people because we don't know.
No. I just kind of got to me when you said that, haven't learned. I mean, that's pretty heavy, man. That's what
it is.
Truth. I mean, that is the truth.
It's heavier when you consider Outkast, that we got brothers and sisters
yeah.
that's been in and out of church for decades.
Yeah.
And they hadn't still learned the nature of Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God's image and likeness. That's why we put all this makeup on and trying to dress ourselves down with clothes and look like something and everything else we see other people suggest to us, because we haven't found out who we are, the beauty of who we are, and what our purpose is.
No, I
don't want y'all to try this, but shoot, if we get it right, we might be able to walk out buck naked if he looks good. But don't do that, man.
I agree. You know,
you look good in your birthday suit. Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, I've said that a lot of times. You know, you got people, a lot of them, you know, they've been sitting in the pews or whatever, you know, 20,
right.
30 years.
Right.
And when it all come down, you know, they haven't studied nor have they showed themselves approved. Basically, it's all about, you know, a beauty contest, you know, even in church, would it be learning about God. Let me tell you something.
Right.
I remember years ago, I had, you know, went to the seminary, you know, which I was incarcerated during that period of time. Baptist College coming out, right? So we were sitting in class, and it was a lot of questions, you know, were being asked. And whenever the professor would ask something, I would answer. One guy told me, he said, man, look, he said, I've never seen you at church services. I've never seen you with a Bible in your hand or anything in that nature. I said, you know, when Jesus taught me to pray, he said, you know, go in the closet and pray that way. You don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. I said, true, I'm not like you all running around, you know, with crosses sewn on your shirts and your pants and Bible in your hand every time you someone see you. I said, but you haven't,
right.
What have you learned? I said, now, get behind Satan. You know, and what I said, be behind me, Satan. I turn around and walk up. And you know what? At the end of the semester, really before the semester was over, I was the only one left in class. But going back to what they did, they just there for a contest.
Right, nobody get off subject. No. No, you brought us back to the conversation about Nicodemus. And Nicodemus asked a question. Now, this is an educated man, brother. This educated man, he asked Jesus, some people would argue, a silly question. He asked him an asinine question. What you mean? I got to go back at my mama. How can an educated man like Nicodemus ask a silly question? But the truth of the matter is, when Jesus told him he had to be born again, he never been hit like that before.
That's right.
He hit him up in a way he ain't never knew before.
Right.
And he calls Nicodemus to process himself by saying, well, wait now. Well, what you mean? How? That's what Nicodemus was asking a process question. How I do that, Lord? How I do that, man? See, he valued him because he snuck out at night so wouldn't nobody else see him. We know he had some value. You know Jesus had some value because he snuck out to see him.
That's right.
But the question was, how do I do this, man? Hurry up and tell me before I get light out there. And Jesus let him know, look, partner, you've got to change your way of thinking, got to change your actions, and you've got to change your heart such that, as you said, Outkast, you're not doing it for show and for an hour thing. You're doing it because this is who you are and what you're all about.
That's right.
And when you're doing it for that reason, some people say, man, I did all that for people for nothing. No. When your heart is pure and you're doing it for the love of God, you can't make no mistake.
Man, you know?
Even if they put you on the cross, and they put a crown of thorns on your head and put vinegar on it and pierce you in the side, you can't make no mistake.
If you're doing it for the right reason, I mean, you know, like when he was talking about the drugs and things and that nature, he said, "Well, how do I tell him? How do I tell him?" You know, and he said, one day God told him, "Hey, go and tell them." You know, I've been depicted in a whole lot of ways. A lot of guys have walked up to me and said, man, I thought you were dumb. I said, okay. All right, but now you know. You know, one little young guy told me one day, he said, man, you know, I'm just really scared to talk to you. I said, why are you afraid to talk to me?
What's wrong,
because you're educated. I said, well, I'm the one that you should be talking to. I told him, like, you never run from knowledge, you know, huh?
There you go. There you go.
You know, I told you, talking here, you know, I said, well, you know, I want to listen. I want to learn something.
Sure.
You know, because I'm philosophical.
Sure.
You know, I don't know everything, you know. I like to talk to wise people. Yeah, you know.
Sure.
You know, you two gentlemen talking now.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. I'm listening.
The Bible suggests we learn through the testimonies of the saints.
Correct.
In other words, the stuff they done been through. And we got four minutes now. But I heard Paul in Hebrews describe what faith was. He said, 11:1, that faith is the substance of, is that right?
Yeah, that's what
things
yeah.
hope for. Nope. I want to put a pin right there, substance, right quick for about 15 seconds. Faith is the crap, the boo-boo, the mess, the times you've been kicked around and the experience that you have in, on this side of earth. Faith is everything you done seen already that you know is real that'll help you hold on until the things that you hope for come around because your hope is in Christ. Now, I done got kicked around, dogged out, used and abused already, right? I could give up. But I'm glad to know that there's hope that tomorrow could be better for me.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
you know, when one door closes, another open.
There you go. Hey, listen, we got about 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Give us a minute to live by, Pastor Wallen, and then close us out here, bro. Outcast, and then we're gonna have to let this thing go, man. I should have won the whole hour and a half, man.
Well, you know that thing is it is. I listen. I want to learn something. I'm listening.
Go ahead, Outcast. Get your minute. Pass Wall on here with us a lot. Go ahead, brother Outcast.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to live another day tomorrow, you know, and if I can help someone along the way, I'm satisfied.
All right. I mean, that's where it is. That's where it is. All right, Pastor Wallen, go ahead and give us a little something to hold on to.
Yeah, I share this with you, that walk in the newness of life is bracing yourself, preparing yourself to get ready for it. You know, it's like when you get ready to get on a ride you've never been on before, and you heard so much about it, you ain't going to buckle up. Well, that's what I would say to anybody who wants to change, you know. And, you know, just brace yourself and prepare for the newness of life, and you'll be all right.
Right. Well, praise God. I'm going to end like this tonight, gentlemen. You brothers have enlightened me a great deal. This is Talk Straight. If you listen after the day, we had people from California and New York. That was not on our map. That's not who we were trying to talk to, but we thank God for them listening. And those that come back and listen later, do keep up with us. I'm going to end with this. Langston Hughes had a message from a mother to a son saying life ain't been no crystal stair. Y'all stay with me for a second while we hear that.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I'm still going, honey. I'm still climbing, and life for me.
It is what is to be seen in 2017 is up to you and I, how we fix that thing. We look forward to engaging you more in the next yearly cycle. This week we'll have an abbreviated show again, about 30 minutes, but look for our announcements. Thank you, Brother Pastor, for being here with us, and we thank the other gentleman, the caller, for sharing as well. Our time is out. We'll see you Thursday. God bless.
All right, look forward.